Let's go to the word of the Lord here this morning. And I don't know if any of you have had the same type of life that I've had in the fact that my children tend to find presents when they were younger that somebody had to put together. Or even just recently having things show up that said on the box, some assembly required. You know, those kinds of things. Now, what happens in those moments if, and I'm speaking primarily to men, although women can be involved in this as well, we know better. And so when you open up the box, there are all of these pieces, and you can just look at them and know how they're supposed to go together. It's pretty logical. It's self-explanatory. And the instruction guide is really only there for the people who are not quite as with it as us, you know? That's how we perceive it. And so we begin and we put those instructions off to the side because, after all, we're not going to need them. And we open the box and we begin to put the pieces together. And everything is going just fine until it's about, in my case, about 90% complete. And at 90%, there's this one piece that it's supposed to go in there. But there's no way to get it in there. It's impossible. And finally, after trying to figure out which angle and so forth to get it into the right location, you break down, if you're like me, and you do the unthinkable. You open the instructions. And to your dismay, if you hadn't put that one piece in back in step two, you can't put it together. Right? And so you spend all of this time showing off how well you can do things without the instructions to get 90% completed, to then proceed to disassemble it all, to get back to step two, to put together that piece. And you know, I wish I could tell you that I was smart. Because at that point, I say, all right, so now I know. And I put the instructions off to the side again. And sometimes it happens multiple times on the same project. And I know that you wouldn't do that. But that's how it comes across. That's how my life has tended to be. And, you know, we are only able to fulfill or finish the task in as much as we follow the instructions according to the maker. If you were to build a house and you decide to put up the walls and you go to, in Mexico, we use steel beams, right? You go to the steel place and you say, I need a steel beam. And they say, okay, what length? And you think, well, 16 feet should be long enough. Well, you know what? When it shows up and it was 16 feet, 8 inches that you needed, it just doesn't quite work out. You understand what I'm saying? So there's certain things in life that you need to follow the instructions. And it's true everywhere. And you know what? Men, we're not the only ones. There are women who already know how to bake a particular item. And so they go into the kitchen. They start throwing the pieces together. And everything is fine until it's coming out of the oven. At that moment, if you live in the real world, there's going to be an occasion where the wife or the woman says, scratching her head, I must have forgot something. You know, that little detail that caused that cake to become a pancake, you know, that little detail that changes everything. And this is true in every aspect of our life. If we don't follow the instructions, the end result just simply can't be what we were hoping for them to be. Now, the instructions in our life with God have already been written. If you have the Bible, you already have the instruction guide. Unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians that decide that the instructions are not necessary. We can figure them out on our own. And we're going to be talking a little bit about that here this morning. Now, in the days of Moses, it was interesting because Moses starts off he's going to write what we know as the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, and nothing is in existence up until this point, right? And so he has to put pen to paper, but there's a point in which the revelation has to take place. And Moses is taken up onto a mountain where he speaks to God, and God begins to reveal certain details to him. And Moses has been there to see in person what it is that God is requiring with the initial building project that he was given, that is the building of the tabernacle and all of the pieces therein. Now, this last week, we switched gears and we began reading your and my favorite book of the Bible, Leviticus, right? I don't understand that kind of laugh. If you love the instructions, you're going to love the book of Leviticus. And the fact that we tend to laugh about that kind of implies that we'd like to leave the instructions off to the side, right? And so here we are reading through the book of Leviticus. And prior to this, and we need to understand why the book of Leviticus was even important to them and should be continued to be important to us. But prior to that, God has taken up, and we've already read through the book of Exodus, and we finished actually the book of Exodus this last week. And so in the book of Exodus, God had already revealed to Moses. Remember when he went up onto the mountain and God writes on the tablets with his own finger. God shows Moses certain details. As a matter of fact, in chapter 27 in verse 8, he says, "Make the altar hollow out of boards. It is to be made just as you were shown on the mountain." In other words, there was a specific plan, a specific detail that God tells Moses that that's the way that he has to do it. And so Moses is tasked with this job of not only fulfilling the building project, and not only teaching the people what they are to do and what they're not to do, and he's later on going to even put pen to paper and write all of these rules out, but he is given the exact measurements, the exact plan of making the copy of the tabernacle, because it has to be like the one in heaven. Now, later on, even in the book of Hebrews, we're going to find that Jesus is coming out of the original. He's the high priest in the original tabernacle, and that Moses, it was only creating a temporary or shadow version of here. And so we understand that Moses has seen the original, and now he's trying to create a duplicate here on earth. And so what happens is Moses begins to tell the people, could you imagine trying to describe some of the items that Moses has to describe to some of the workers, some of the artisans, some of the people who are going to actually put chisel to stone or cut wood or pound out gold or whatever the task might be for them, the one that is going to be able to begin putting together the curtains and all of this, and try to describe it. And he'd go in and he'd say, okay, so it needs to look like this, and you have these little arms that come up like this and so on and so forth. And so they create something, and he says, he has to come back in and say, you know what, it's not quite exactly the way that it's supposed to be. And so this is a long process, you have to imagine. He probably wasn't like some of you may be, expert artists that just draws exactly what he's talking about. Just make it exactly like this. If you come out with artwork like I have, which stick figures look good in comparison to what I do, but that would be difficult to transfer the whole vision via words and even drawings. And so what happens is eventually back almost to the end of the book of Exodus, in chapter 39, it says in verse 43, Moses inspected the work. In other words, Moses took all the pieces, everything from the bases to that were going to support the poles, that were going to support the curtains, everything, the way that the fabric was weaved together, everything that is there. He inspected the work and saw that they had done it, and notice the way that it's phrased here, just as the Lord had commanded. We need to put that phrase into our brains right now, because the only way to do and live a life that pleases God is when we do things just as the Lord has commanded. We can't try to create our own route. We can't try to figure out and say, you know what, I know better. I don't need the instructions. Unless we do it just as the Lord commands, we're not going to end up with the second part, which says, so Moses blessed them. So if we look at that little phrase here, the truth is still for us today. We have not ourselves gone into heaven and saw God. But there is one who came from heaven. His name is Jesus. He knows exactly what God the Father is like. He knows exactly, and I'm using that word with intent, exactly what God wants of every one of us. And so he begins, and if you start to analyze the life of Jesus, he did all kinds of great and wonderful things. He's the person who walks on water. He's the one who can feed the multitude with just a little bit of food. He's the one who can heal the sick, raise the dead. But if you look at the life of God, of the whole of Jesus, the Gospels emphasize one aspect over all of them in regards to Jesus. He went around teaching and preaching. He went around, and his first and foremost priority was not to heal, although he healed a lot of people, was not to feed them, although he fed multitudes. His priority was to teach them, as Moses had already done in the Old Testament, what God was requiring of them. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 22, it says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows whom the Father is except the Son. And notice this phrase, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus is the one who reveals who the Father is. And so Jesus is there still as the example, because he has come from heaven, just as Moses was taken up onto the mountain, and he is seeing all of these things. And he's the one who can compare and verify that it's just as it was on the mountain. So now Moses can bless. So as a result, Jesus can also bless. Let's go back to that book of Exodus. Now the very last chapter, chapter 40. And I'm going to read for you, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, although it's a great chapter, right? But I'm going to read verse here, verse there, verse everywhere, all throughout, because I want to let you hear what is being said throughout that chapter. And so in this chapter 40 and verse 16, well, I'm not going to keep saying chapter 40, just the verse, all right? Moses did everything just as the Lord commanded him. In verse 19, then he spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering over the tent as the Lord commanded him. Verse 21, then he brought the ark into the tabernacle and hung the shielding curtain and shielded the ark of the covenant law as the Lord commanded him. In verse 23, and he set out the bread on it before the Lord as the Lord commanded him. And he set up the lamps before the Lord. And again, as the Lord commanded him, right? In verse 27, and burnt fragrant incense on it, as the Lord commanded him. Verse 29, he set the altar of burnt offerings near the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and offered on it burnt offerings and grain offerings, as the Lord commanded him. Lastly, they washed whenever they entered the tent of meeting or approached the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, you know, when God goes to tell you something, you say, that's important because God's telling me. If God chooses to repeat himself, you say, that's something that God's wanting me to remember. But in one chapter, how many times did we hear the phrase, as the Lord commanded him? In other words, it gave no wiggle room. It had to be an exact copy of what God had already instituted and said, it has to be like this. And Moses went about doing all that he could to make sure that he did it just as God had commanded. Now, when Jesus comes along, he gives this list of instructions for us as well. And it is our requirement then to follow what Jesus is telling us. Now, a scripture that almost all of you know by heart. It's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 21. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so notice what Jesus tells his disciples. He gives them a rule, a list of things that they were supposed to do. And so what was the first thing that they were going to do? They were going to go out and they were going to make disciples. What does that mean? That means that somebody is going out and sharing the good news that God wants to bring peace between man and himself, that we are no longer required to be his enemies through sin, but rather we can have reconciled life with God. And so through Jesus, we have salvation. At that moment, you submit to his sovereign authority. We call him Lord and Savior. That's a disciple, one that is willing to be disciplined by Jesus, to learn from Jesus, to follow what Jesus is saying. And then Jesus says that that person that becomes a disciple and submits to his authority, then the disciples were required to do something else. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, today, many of you have already heard this, but let me remind you, in just about an hour and a half, 2 hours from now, we will be celebrating a baptismal service. Everyone's invited to come back at around 1:30 at the end of all of the services. We're going to be baptizing individuals that are doing this, all right? And you say, well, what's going to be like that? We're going to open up these trap doors. And it's not, I guess trap doors mean you fall through. These doors that underneath we have a baptismal tank already has the water in it. And one of the people that was going to be baptized, or is going to be baptized, not just was, is going to be baptized. I'm sure they're going to show up. I talked to him this morning. And I said, I have a question for you. Seriously, you just need to answer this question. And they said, what, Pastor? And I said, which would you prefer, cold water or ice water? And they said, cold water is fine. You know, they don't need the ice cubes. They were sure that cold water was sufficient, right? And you say, well, would they have done it if it was ice water? Yeah, because at that point, it's a matter of obedience, because being a disciple means I want to do it just as the Lord commands. And so when we go into the water, you're going to be, if you're going to be here, and please be here, it's going to be it's exciting to see people obey God, right? And so I'm going to go in, and I'm going to ask the question, have you decided to serve the Lord with all of your heart for all of your life? And if they say, well, I'm still kicking the idea around, they're going to leave wet but not baptized, right? Because the first step to do it according to God's plan, the way he commands, is that they become a disciple, right? They already have to make that decision. And so when they say, yes, I'm going to serve the Lord for all of eternity, I'm going to say, great. And then I'm going to proceed with the steps, if you will, of baptizing them. Now, follow with me. I'm not going to say, because we're celebrating my birthday today, I baptize you in the name of Pastor Gary. Why can't I say that? Because it has to be the way that God says, right? This is a plan. I can't even say, you know what? You got saved here. God's doing great things in Abundant Life Church. I baptize you in the name of the church, Abundant Life. No, what you're going to hear me say is, as your pastor, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because it is required of every believer to do it just as the Lord commanded. You understand what we're saying here? And it's so important that we learn what the Lord commands of us. And why is that important? Because if we want to be blessed, and that's what happens later on. Remember that scripture, and it says that, and Moses blessed them? If we want to be blessed, we need to do it according to his plan. If Moses had looked everything over and said, I told you it's not going to be like that. How many times have we had this conversation? Do I have to find another worker? You know, could you imagine? Sometimes those kinds of frustrations happen. If you were building a house, or if you were having a car repaired, or I mean, all kinds of things, people sometimes try to do it their own way, right? And you go in and you say, I don't understand. I've told them 100 times. Why can't they get it right? You know, if that was the case, and Moses had looked at the item and it wasn't right, it would end up going to somebody else to be a responsibility for somebody else so that it could be exactly what God had commanded. And then, and only then, would they have been blessed, right? So what kind of blessings should we expect if we follow God's rules according to his plan? You know what? The world looks for all kinds of things that they call blessings. The world, if you say blessing, they begin to talk about prosperity. They talk about gold and money and new cars and nice houses and all kinds of stuff. But I want to tell you that that isn't what the blessing was in the days of Moses, nor is it the blessing that we are expecting in our lives. But rather, it's his glory. Because if you were to follow through, In that same chapter 40, the very next verse, here's what it says. Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar and put up the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. And so Moses finished the work. Now we already know, because of how many times we already read it, in chapter 40, it was just as the Lord had commanded, right? And as a result, it says in verse 34, then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Now, when I say that we will receive the blessing of God when we obey just as he commands, we are not talking about all of a sudden you have this huge unexpected deposit in your bank account. We're not talking even about a great swing on the stocks that you own. We're not talking about anything that the world thinks that's important, but rather we're talking about being an individual who all of a sudden has the glory of the Lord come upon us. In the days of Moses, the glory fell on the tabernacle. And at that moment, everyone knew it's because they had done the work according to his plan, just as he had commanded. Now, in the New Testament, we have a similar situation because Jesus, being the exact copy, comes down, or the original, coming down, and he begins to share with his disciples all of these things. He gives them this plan that they are to go out and make disciples, but he had told them something about that process, that they needed to wait for something. What were they going to wait for? They were going to wait for power to be able to be his witnesses. First in Jerusalem, then Judea, and then to all of Samaria and the ends of the earth. Now, what happens? As they begin in the process of waiting, we can find ourselves all the way into the book of Acts, chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Remember in the days of Moses, a cloud came, right? And he says, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, we are a Pentecostal church, and I could spend all the rest of the time talking about Pentecost and the tongues and all this, but I'm not talking about that today. What I'm seeing here is this phrase. It says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The blessing of God is upon our lives when we obey just as God commands our lives. We end up being people who are blessed because we are filled with his Spirit as we choose to serve him, obey him according to the instructions day by day, not on occasion, not on Sundays only, or whenever we choose or think it's a good idea, but rather all of the time conforming our lives to his plan. Now, me personally, the day that I was baptized in water, and again, just as the Lord commanded, that person that baptized me did not say, I baptize you in my name or I baptize you in the name of the church. It was in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And at that moment is when God called me into the ministry. at that moment. And so that's why it's so exciting to be able to be here this afternoon and see people who are obeying the Lord just as he commands. And they're going to have, it's a moment where the glory of God can be poured out because we are obeying the Lord. Obedience. If you read through the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, there's a list of blessings as well as curses. Now, what's the difference between the two? It's one side did exactly, actually the word everything, 100%. God doesn't even accept 99.9%. You know, that's that person that had that one little piece left over afterwards. And they say, oh, it must not be important. A couple of weeks ago, we got some furniture, patio furniture, and it came in this big box. Some assembly required. And I looked at that, and I said, it's pretty obvious how it goes together. It was. It was really obvious. And I put the whole thing together. And then all of a sudden, I had these little pieces. You know, guys, the extra stuff that really is not needed. The extra, exactly. And I said, okay, where did they want these to go? Well, they were these spring rocking kind. And evidently you needed these as cushions between the two metal pieces. Otherwise, it made crunching noises. So I took it apart, and I put it back together again. And I looked at it, and I said, it doesn't look right. Something's wrong. Because you would assume that a chair that you're going to sit in would be more or less level. Well, this particular chair was kind of helping you get out. And I said, why is that? You know, my first instinct as a common logical male is to say, the manufacturer must have made a mistake. But I looked at the instructions. And it turns out, to my dismay, the mistake wasn't made by the manufacturer. It was made by me. I put it on backwards, that if you just turn the chair around, I mean, they're big pieces, right? It went together, and it looks fine now, but it took me twice as long to put it together as it needed to because I didn't take the instructions seriously. And we're so likely to do this and end up missing a situation where we're not filled with the Holy Spirit because we didn't follow the instructions just as God says. How strange it is that we, being logical, common sense people, end up falling prey to this over and over again. We have to follow the plans of the Maker. That's why the book of Hebrews, the writer there, tells us that we do something very important. He says to us, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. You know, when you start out, you can start out, you say, all right, I got the right idea. I bought the right product. I have the box open. And sometimes we think that's all we needed to do. We come into relationship with God and we open the box, right? It's already here. We purchased the right item. We accept Jesus, but then we start going about the procedure of developing our lives and being who we are according to our own plans, according to what we had heard from this person that's a good Christian, and we hear from that person, and our background, and our culture, and our education, and we put all of these things together in a synthesis, and we say, that's how we should live. But we don't live according to that plan. We have to ignore all of the rest and fix our eyes on the instructions. Fix our eyes on the one, on Jesus. Because only in him can he work out our salvation. We only, when we see Jesus and have our eyes on him, you know what? You are wonderful people. But if you try to pattern your life according to the person who lives sitting right now next to you, you're going to, unfortunately, fail at one point or the other, because the only exact image is Jesus. And so we have to learn the answer here. We have to refuse the temptation to put the instruction book off to the side. And when you go this coming week, as we continue reading through that book of Leviticus, yes, you'll be motivated, right? Because after all, our plan is to do everything in our lives just as God has commanded. Following Jesus is not done just as I imagine, as I always thought it was. He continues year after year, day after day, to amaze me, as I'm sure he does you. Correcting this little flaw, this little error, this, and I probably shouldn't even say little, these massive problems in my life, as only he can, because he is the perfect image of God. And so we fix our eyes on him. And in order to keep in step with the Holy Spirit, it's imperative that we follow the instructions. If you want to enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit day after day, it's doing all of life according to his plan. Letting him be the one that molds us and conforms us into his image. That we walk according to his plans. And it's so important that we daily open up those instructions, that guide. Never saying, you know what, I think I have this figured out. It looks obvious to me. We look at the instructions day after day and say, God, correct me, modify me, allow me to be who I need to be. And as we do that, we will enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the way that the gospel writers would talk about it, or Moses would mention it, the glory of the Lord comes. Since you live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, and that's where the blessings of God are. Not just for the people who are being baptized. And there are going to be people baptized today. And again, I want to encourage you to be here. But let's all strive to walk daily in obedience according, just exactly as God has commanded. Amen? Bow your heads with me if you will. Lord, we are grateful as your children that you have given us completed instructions. Although by nature we may not like the instructions, but we want to read through those instructions because we learned something. We've learned that only in following the exact instructions, just as you have commanded, will the blessings end up being a part of our life. And blessings, Lord, we're not talking about finances and the things that the world chases after. We have but one thing in mind when we consider being blessed, that we find ourselves being like you, that we find ourselves standing in your presence. And there will be that moment in which we, as your people, can hear the message, the words that we've oh so longed for. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest prepared for you. Lord, let that be who we are. If we've gone astray and perhaps have permitted our own agenda, our own philosophies, our own plans to indicate how we should fulfill our lives, Lord, we repent of it right now. And we choose to follow your plans just as you have commanded. And we're going to walk that way. We're going to believe in you and fix our eyes only on you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.